stumbled on a series as we were talking about women in the Bible in the month of March, because March is Women's History Month, and I had stumbled on some things that I wanted to continue. I announced last Sunday that I was going to be talking about Sisera's mama this Sunday, but the tower has a right to change your travel plans. Again, I announced that I would be talking about Sisera's mama, but the tower at all times has a right to change your travel plans. Anytime a plane is going through bad weather, going through turbulence, they have to call to the control tower and ask the control tower to allow them to go up a little higher, to go above the rain and the winds and the storm. And so God has asked me to change my travel plans to deal with what he needs to deal with on this Sunday morning, based upon what the world and the children of God are dealing with here in America and across this world. Again, if you have your Bibles, turn with us to the book of Acts, chapter 12, verses 5 through 17. Normally, they teach you in school and in seminary, only read about 10 verses because people get tired and bored after that. They feel like they've got nothing else to do. So we don't read a whole lot that you probably haven't read before. Anyhow, amen. Amen. The King James Version of our Bible says, Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And Herod, and behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, Arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, Gird thyself, and bind on thy sandals. So he did. And he saith unto him, Cast thy garment about thee, and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and the second ward, they came into the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, Now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel, and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod, and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, Thou art mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, It is his angel. But Peter continued knocking. And when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But he, beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, Go, show these things unto James and to the brethren. And he departed and went into another place. I want to shine a spotlight on verse 12, if you will. We'll turn back to verse 12. I want to shine the sermonic spotlight on verse 12. In verse 12, it says, And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. Thank you, Elder Lakin. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary,
the mother of John. And when he had considered the thing. I want to talk this Sunday morning as you gather together, thinking in the time of trouble. Thinking in the time of trouble. We solicit your prayers. My brothers and my sisters, our text this morning finds ourselves again in the book of the Acts, chapter 12, verses 5 through 17. This text begins with us finding Peter, the chief apostle, Jesus' best friend, the captain of the 12, finding himself in jail for the third time. This is the third time that we see in Holy Writ that he has been imprisoned for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Many of the apostles, just like Paul, found themselves at some time in their ministry imprisoned for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's no secret that many of our ancestors, many of our Moseses, like the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and other members of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, found themselves during the Civil Rights Movement imprisoned, just like these apostles, for preaching what thus saith the Lord. We remember that when Dr. King was in that Birmingham jail, he understood and was not ashamed by the fact that he was in jail, because he said, just like Paul, I must answer the Macedonian call to aid, even if that brings me into a prison cell. So Peter once again is found in jail because Herod found out that when he imprisoned James, it pleased the Jews. And since it pleased the Jews, he said, well, let me imprison another one of these apostles who are preaching this gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, the problem is that Peter had been in jail twice before, and every time he gets in jail, Elder Lakin, he finds a way of breaking out. Herod had heard the story that he's kind of like Houdini, and that he has a problem keeping him in jail. So this time he put 16 guards just to keep Peter in jail. He put 16 guards, four around each area. And then not only is Peter chained to a wall, but there are two guards on the right and on the left of him at all times, just to make through sure that he doesn't break out this time. But I need to remind somebody, there is no security system. There is no burglar law. There is nothing that can keep God from breaking in when God wants to break in. And when you know the story, one night as the city slept, the people were praying, an angel of the Lord appeared unto Peter, broke his chains. Don't know what he did with the 16 guards, but he walked out of prison on his own accord. Again, this was the third time that he was in prison. And there's some time before he gets to Mary's house that the Bible says he had a time to reflect and think on these things. I imagine that this wasn't the first time he thought about it, because when you're in prison, you've got a lot of time to think. Yeah, I said, when you're in prison, you've got a lot of time to think. That's why they call it doing time, because you got a lot of time. And if you're in prison, not just in jail overnight, but if you're in real prison, you've got a whole lot of time to think. And so the whole time he's thinking about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for him, even in the spite of the fact that he's in a prison cell. So he's thinking, and even before he begins walking, I just imagine that he takes time to pause and say, thank you, Lord, for freeing me one more time. He takes time to think on these things while he is in prison. Well, many of us find ourselves not behind bars, but in this period of calamity, find ourselves in self-imposed prison called quarantine. Many of us find ourselves in prison during this coronavirus period. Some states and some good governors have declared their states closed and are mandating that people stay home, because if people stay home, the virus cannot be transferred. We'll be praying for our governor as well. We found out in other countries who've been doing this, if people don't be around one another, sorry if that's bad English, but if they're not around one another, then the virus cannot spread, because it has to have a host, and then it has to have other others that you pass it on to. And so many of us have found themselves, especially this week, parents imprisoned by their children. Find themselves now having to homeschool their children. People who cannot go to work are in prison in front of their computers. People who are used to be on good jobs can't go to their job. They're scared because they don't know how they're going to make ends meet. We find ourselves in prison. And then many of us, even before the virus, find ourselves imprisoned by our past. Imprisoned by our sins. And now all of us are a little bit imprisoned by fear. And I don't care how many times you read Timothy. I know we cannot live in fear. But again, let's be honest, because we don't know how long this thing is going to go on. We do know there is a cure. We do know there is a healing. But I tell you all the time, the longest day of life is Saturday. Jesus dies on Friday night. Everyone's going to have Friday night fright. Everyone's going to have Friday night fear. We know as Christians that joy will come and that healing will come Sunday morning. But we don't know how long Saturday will last. And they did not know on that day when Jesus was crucified how long between Friday night fright and Sunday morning sunshine. And so we're living in a period of imprisonment. Imprisonment of not knowing. Imprisonment of not knowing what's going to happen. Imprisonment of not knowing when we go back to work, how our funds are going to be paid, how our bills are going to be paid, how our money is going to get distributed, what's going on with the stock market. Don't know if we're going to get it. Don't know if our family members are going to get it. Don't know how. But I hope you do know who. And when we find ourselves challenged in times like these, when we go through the vicissitudes of life, when things happen in our lives that are out of our control, and our decisions and choices have not caused the bad things that have happened in our life, there's always a God factor. And while you're home quarantined, while you find yourself in self-imposed prison, it is time, like Paul and Peter rather, to think on these things. It's time to think, what is God trying to tell us? What might we have done sometimes wrong? What sins are we paying for? What is God trying to not only tell this state, not only tell this nation, not only tell this president, but tell the whole world what he's doing? That's why we got to take our time to think on these things in the time of trouble. And after thinking on these things, Peter says, it's time for me to go to the house of prayer. Now, I don't know really, because the text doesn't tell us how he knew that they were at Mary's house praying for him. Old folk might have said his ears were itching. Because when people talk about you, old folk would say, my ears must be itching because I hear y'all gossiping and talking about me. But I believe the real reason Dickon Keels that he knew that they were praying for him at Sister Mary's house because he'd already been to Sister Mary's house before praying. Peter knew where the house of prayer was. And when you got trouble, you need to come into the house of prayer. When they lift this quarantine, when they lift this whatever we're going through, everybody need to be back here in the house of prayer. If you knew prayer was here before, you need to come back to the house of prayer when this thing gets over. He knew that people were praying at Mary's house because he had been there before. I wish I had a few witnesses out there. Praying now. The Bible says that the people in there
when she saw Peter outside the gate, because she heard the gate knock. She heard a knock on the gate. It's the gate that gave her tolls. Because truth be told, some other gates had been rattling before. The gates that had held him in prison rattled, and that's how he got out. And when he got out, some other gates began to rattle, and that's how people knew that he was out. God rattled the gates to get him out. God rattled the gates again to give God praise. God rattled the gates to give him out. But then God rattled the gates to get him out. If you hear somebody, tell somebody, God's about to do it again. God's about to do it again. God's about to do it again. The way he has healed before, the way that he has delivered before, the way he
see Peter at the gate. They first think it's an angel, but it keeps on knocking. They think it's not him, but an image, so he keeps on knocking. Because angels don't make a whole lot of noise. And in times like this, the church has got to make a whole lot of noise. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy is going to come in the morning. It's time for the church to make a whole lot of noise, because we do believe that God is about to do a wondrous thing and cure our land. For I read and heard somewhere that if my people who are called according to my name will humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways, they will hear from heaven, and then the Lord has promised to heal the land. In times like these, we got to again think on these things. Think what's going on in the land. But then again, we got to in turn, after we pray, it's be time to praise God. We need to praise God in advance for what he's about to do. Because after this, there will be a praise. After this, God will get the glory. After this, the church will be united. After this, there will be glory. After this, is there anybody that can believe and testify wherever you are right now? There will be a praise after this. There will be glory after this. There will be a shout after this. There will be victory after this. Oh, I'm telling you a true story. My best friend
rascal who shall remain nameless is serving 25 years in federal prison. He's still one of my best friends. But doing 25 years in federal prison. And one day last year, Sister Lakin, he texted me on Facebook Messenger. I knew he's in jail. When he reached out to me on Facebook Messenger, I'm thinking, number one, how he get a phone in jail? And number two, since it's contraband, am I going to get in trouble? Help me somebody if I reply. So he texted me again on Facebook Messenger. And so I said, am I allowed to reply? And he said, Chris, it's okay. And I said, well, first of all, let me make sure this is who I'm talking to, because you really don't know who you're talking to sometimes by a keyboard. So I asked him some questions only he would know. And he replied affirmative to all my questions. So I knew it was my best friend from high school. And I said, best friend, how much time you got left? And best friend said, I'll be home soon. I said, best friend, no, how many years you got left? And best friend said, I'll be home soon. I said, no, best friend, how many months you got? Best friend said, I'll be home soon. I said, no, man, how many weeks you got? And best friend said, I'll be home soon. I said, no, man, how many days you got? I said, best friend said, I'll be home soon. I said, how many hours you got? And my best friend said, I'll be home soon. I said, how many minutes you got? And he said, I'll be home soon. I said, no, man, how many seconds you got? And he said again, I'll be home soon. What my best friend was trying to tell me, it does not matter what they say. It does not matter what I'm going through right now. It does not matter that I'm in prison right now. It does not matter that I'm behind bars right now. The only thing I can see in my mind is that I'll be home soon. And I came to tell the church universal, we gonna be home soon. That's why in baseball, they call the plate that you score on home plate. You got to go through first base. You got to go through second base. You got to go through third base. But when you score, you got to come on through home plate. And I don't know about you, because of my sins, because I haven't done all I'm supposed to do, because I've been wicked and